and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our God, one who brings all things to our remembrance. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to try to finish up the fivefold ministry gifts tonight. We think we finished the pastor last week, so let's talk about a little bit about the evangelist, and then we are going to the rest of this Cult of Honor book, see if we can get some more information out of it. The evangelist is concerned about the lost, those who are in darkness. And what the evangelist does, evangelist ensures that heavens flow from the apostles through the prophets, teachers and pastors, making it a intended target, those held in darkness. And so the evangelist's main concern, his anointing causes him or her to focus on the souls who do not yet know Jesus as a primary concern and motivation for ministry. Apostle Paul, God called him, he was an evangelist also. And so if you turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 26, let's see a few scriptures in this area. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, looking at verse 14. I'll begin reading at verse 13. It says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which join it with me. And when we are all fallen to the earth," that was the Apostle Paul speaking here, "he said, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. He said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things thou hast seen, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So what he was saying, the things that I will reveal unto you. He said, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." So he sent the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles with this message about the kingdom. He said, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." That was his purpose, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified in faith, by faith that is in me. So his main purpose was to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance. And so that's the thing that we who are in the body of Christ, we miss the point that once we came into the kingdom, we do have an inheritance. Jesus have already provided an inheritance for us. And so we have to begin to ask for it, request it, and know that it's available to us. His anointing causes him or her to focus on the souls who do not yet know Jesus. We're talking about the evangelist now. As a primary concern and motivation for ministry. Realistically, unless the ministry of the church is reaching those who don't yet know the Lord, the function of the other anointings is fairly pointless. The kingdom of heaven invading the earth is the goal. So the main thing for all fivefold ministry gifts is for the kingdom of heaven to invade the earth. Again, we have that paradigm where we're going from not from earth to heaven, but we are going from heaven to earth. And so we have to keep that in our focus. The kingdom of heaven, God say, one of the things, again, as Jesus was praying and he was teaching his disciples to pray, one of the things he said, that our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God wanted the kingdom to invade the earth. The same kingdom that was in heaven, he wanted that kingdom to invade the earth. Turn to Matthew 4 with me. We'll just read some scriptures here and see. So the main thing is, again, it's not so much that the unsaved invading the church, but the main thing is for the kingdom of heaven to come on the earth rim. So if the kingdom of earth is being manifested, then the saved is going to come to that light and come into the kingdom. Over in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and remember what the word we said, it's bringing the people out of darkness into the light. So, and we, once we get saved, we are the children of light. We have, that's a part of our culture. He says in verse 16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was asking them to, he was teaching and beginning to tell them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so as we see what happens when the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then people, things, signs and wonders and miracles begin to happen. And when that begins to happen, the kingdom is invading the earth, and then people who are in darkness want to come to that light and begin to request those things that the kingdom has to offer, rather than so much about the evangelist. He's teaching about the kingdom, and as he teaches about the kingdom, people will see, this is something I need in my life. He goes on to say, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that was taken from divers diseases and torments, and those which was possessed with devils, and those which was lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So what was happening? The kingdom of heaven had invaded the earth. People began to see those signs, those wonders, and those miracles begin to happen. They heard word of these signs, these wonders. And so it wasn't so much about him going out witnessing to people, but he was manifesting the kingdom of heaven in earth. We who are in the body of Christ, if we begin to manifest the kingdom of heaven in earth, then people are going to come. Multitudes will come to where the kingdom of heaven is, because what the kingdom of heaven has off is what they need. They're sitting in darkness. They have sickness and diseases in their bodies. They are possessed by Satan, and so they want to be delivered. And so as the kingdom of heaven is being manifested in the earth realm, then those who are lost is going to come. Even in the book of Acts, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, all the people got saved because of the kingdom of heaven had manifested in the earth realm. And the signs and wonders, you begin to see the signs, you begin to see the wonders and the miracles that was taking place. And when those things begin to happen, then, like I say, again, the people will come to where those things are happening. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in carefully and intentionally assembling the pipe that funnels heaven and all its power and freedom to the earth. And so, again, the fivefold ministry gifts. We've gone through those fivefold ministry gifts. If we go back to our basic scriptures, which is in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, where it says, we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Also over in Ephesians 4 and 11, where he say he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it gets on down in there. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. This is fivefold ministry gifts. And so these graces that the Lord Jesus gave to the body of Christ. And so, and once we learn how to operate in them and begin to do it the way God set it up, and then again, these signs and wonders begin to operate. Verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. So when you're going to edify the body of Christ, you're going to build it up when the signs and wonders begin to manifest in the church. He goes on to say, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as we continue to learn and grow and perfect in this kingdom, we come to the point that we come to the full measure. That's why Jesus could make a statement in John. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Because, you know, as we learn, then we're going to be able to do the works that he did while he was here. If we do the same thing that he did while he was here by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like he told his disciples, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of my Father that I'm going to send to you. And what he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. And he was telling them how they was going to be able to do the works, how they was going to be able to witness. And witness means that the witness is that what I was doing when I was here, when I walked up on a blind eye, I gave that individual sight. When I walked up on a deaf ear, that person was able to hear. If I walked up on someone who was possessed with the devil, then that person was set free from the enemy. And so so he said, if you do the same thing, do not leave, do not go out until you receive this promise. And once you receive the promise that my Father, that's baptism in the Holy Ghost, and so he's going to be your helper. He said, I'm going to send you another helper, another comforter. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, the things that I used while I was here, if you take the same and do the same way I did it, and the example I gave, I am the example. So if you follow my example, then the works that I did while I was here, then you can do those same works. And but again, the purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts is to train the body of Christ so they can operate in the kingdom the way Jesus set it up. And so we can see these, again, these signs, these wonders, these supernatural results in the earth realm. God has said, brought it to us, and he wants to restore. He wants to restore, first of all, his government in the earth by restoring that the apostle back in his place. He wants to restore the prophets in their place, the pastors in their place, the evangelists, and the teachers in their place. And then once that happens, then we got a flow. We got a flow from heaven where the power of God flows through that apostle, down through the prophet, down through the teacher, and the evangelist, and the pastor, and the people can receive and begin to operate in the things that God, the way God set it up. We go back to the church and where God said, God says in Corinthians, we can look at that again. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he tells us, I always go back to my basic scriptures, my foundational scriptures, and so, because I know one of the things that the Word of God tells me, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, he said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. So as long as I continue to hear what God is doing and what God is saying, then I can begin to receive faith for that, so I can incorporate it in my life and then begin to operate in it. So over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he goes in and say, like I say, all these are just basic foundational scriptures that we've heard, and we'll go over them, we'll cover them again. The Apostle Paul began to talk to the Corinthian church, and one of the things that he told them when he first began to talk to them, he would first begin to write this letter, this epistle to these Corinthians, and he said, now, brethren, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. I would not, he said, I want you to know. I want you to have knowledge of what's going on here in the kingdom. And so the first verse says, he said, I would not, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, or spiritual things, I would not have you ignorant. And he goes on to explain about the body, ninefold manifestations of the Holy Ghost, and the natural body, and then the body of Christ. And here in verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, he said, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we are the body. Jesus Christ is the head. And so if we are the body, we're going to function the way the head wants us to function. My body functions because my brain, my head tells it certain things. If my brain tells my hand to move or my feet to move, and then that's what happens. So Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. So the body, the head tells the body what to do. And if we follow along with it, that's why he can tell us in Romans 8:14, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. So and so as we're being led by the head, we can carry out and function the way the body should function. In verse 28, it says, God has set some in the church, and then first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And so what he's saying is, this is a priority. This is an order. God said, I set up an order in the church. I set up this order the way I wanted the flow. I set the apostles up, and so when the flow begins, it flows through the apostles, through the prophets, through the teachers, and then you begin to see those signs and wonders. As we've been learning, as we've been teaching, is that the prophets, the apostles, and the prophets, they're going straight to heaven. They're finding out what heaven wants, and again, they're bringing that to earth. They want to make sure that what heaven wants on earth gets to earth, and God's revealed that to his apostles so he can bring it to the body, and then the prophets can tell you, the teachers can explain to you so you can operate in it and work and see those signs and those wonders and those miracles and begin to see those supernatural acts. God wants us to operate in the supernatural just like breathing, just like we breathe. We want to be so natural to us until it's like again, we don't even think to breathe. And so operating in the supernatural is going to be the exact same way. But again, as the Apostle Paul began to teach to the Corinthians over in chapter 2, we have to know that it's not, we're not doing this through our heads, through the natural man. He said, the natural man in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, because they are spiritually discerned. So we have to receive these things in our spirit man. If we don't receive it in our spirit man, it won't happen because we don't understand it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As he brings it up, I have to bring it to you and show it to you and let you see it. And that way the Holy Spirit can and breathe on it and let you know what's happening, shed light on it. 1 Corinthians, yeah, you know, we know about the Apostle Paul began to minister to the people, and he said, brother, when I came to you, I came to you not with excellence of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when we come to you, we're not coming with our understanding, our wisdom, our knowledge, but we're coming to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so when you begin to see these supernatural events taking place, you begin to see God manifest his glory in the earth realm. You know it's not coming from man. You know man could not do it. And so now I can begin to have faith for what God says in his word that it can happen to me. When I see someone that's who has been crippled from birth, get up and begin to walk, then I know that man didn't do it, but God did it. He manifested his glory. The kingdom of heaven has manifested in the earth realm. And now you can begin to have faith. Well, if he did it for one, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, has no respect of person. If he did it for one, then I can get him to do it for me also. He goes on to say, if you read on down further, he says, you know what verse 9 says, then we get in verse 10. He said, but I have not seen, not yet, sir, verse 9, not seen, not heard, have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows these things. He said, now we have received not. See, once we're born again, came into the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, if we be Christ, then are we new creatures, our new creations. He said, old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what happened? Our human spirit has been recreated in the image of God. So we have the same spirit that God have in him, Jesus have in him. We have that same spirit. He said, the same spirit that raised Romans 8 says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on you. And he said, also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So with the same spirit that he have, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of us. So we begin to know this. We begin to understand this. And if we have knowledge of this, and he said, then you become what? Partakers of God's divine nature, because we have knowledge of these things in our spirit. It goes on to say in verse 12, he said, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He said, but, and that's the only thing I want you to see. He said, but the natural man, and that's, you know, in the body of Christ, that's where most of us have come to the point that we think we can receive the things of God in our natural head. And it do not happen. It will. The word of God says it's impossible. It cannot happen. It's enmity against God. Since it's enmity against God, so we can't receive. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if they are spiritually discerned, then we have to be in the Spirit in order to receive them and know how to operate in them. So the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So I needed to cover that area. I wanted to bring that back up and let you know that he said, verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judging no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So he talked about our spirit, and now he's also gone to our mind. We have the mind of Christ. And so we can, if we have the mind of Christ, then the things that he did, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, and that's why he can make a statement. The works that I did shall you do also, and greater works. Amen. So that's basically the fivefold ministry gifts. You go in and you've gotten those the duties executed by an apostle. Again, I need you to go over them, read them, study them, because the apostle, he's beginning to, as he having his impartation calls, you're beginning to minister them to their to the LTMA membership. And because we need to know, we need to understand, we have to have a great understanding why God wants these his government reestablished in the earth realm. What apostle does? We have not been taught enough about the apostles. And so, like I said, our apostle was ministering on apostolic strategies, but it's so much more. God has so much more to teach us about this. And again, Apostle Paul said it took him 14 years to really for God to reveal these things to him. So it just don't happen overnight. It's come from much studying and the Holy Spirit revealing these things to us. Let's go on to the next chapter in this in our Culture of Honor book. And like I said, we've gone past the fivefold ministry gifts, so we're going to talk about some other things now that's in this book. We talk about honor, and we found out that honor is the hardware that bolts all this plumbing together. One of the things that we learn as we have been studying, Matthew 10:41 say, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So all that that's part of the honor aspect of it. When we dishonor those gifts, guess what? There's no supernatural manifestation that takes place when we dishonor them. We found that through Jesus as he was teaching over there, and they say, you know, they got back into the natural again, and so he could not do no mighty works because of their unbelief. So when you disbelieve what the prophet or what the apostle is saying, then that's dishonoring that individual. One of the ways that we found out that if you want the mantle, we talked about it in the last class, the mantle that's on an individual, one of those gifts, life. If you want that mantle, you have to, first of all, you have to recognize that he is an apostle. You have to recognize him. And secondly, all, you have to receive it. Thirdly, you have to honor it. And fourthly, you have to serve that gift. And that means that's the way God set it up. And so if we do it that way, then whatever's on that individual's life, no matter what it is, you can receive that mantle that's on his life. That's a principle that's throughout Scripture. You go through Scripture and you see it. And you see it out in example after example after example. The honor is the hardware that bolts all this plumbing together. This funnel is actually a network of relationships. Relationships in which the flow continues as we learn to recognize these God-given roles and anointings. As we begin to see it, there it is right now. You have to recognize. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to recognize that there is a gift in my presence. There is an apostle in my presence. There's an apostle in my presence. There's a prophet in my, there's a teacher. There's an evangelist in my, there's a pastor in my presence. So I recognize it. So I honor him in that way. And then releases people to operate in them and receive what they have to give. So that's the second part. Receive. You have to receive him as an apostle. So whatever they have to give, you receive that as a gift. And again, like I said, you have to honor them and you have to serve them. God anoints a person, and his spirit in the rest of the team creates a corporate witness that acknowledges God's anointing and receives the person in his or her role. A perfect example was over in Numbers. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. And this is God's done. This is the way God operate. And so we Psalm 103 7 say Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel knew his acts. And so when you know God's ways, you know what God is going to do. You know how he's going to do it. So over here in Numbers chapter 11, I began reading at verse 14, And this is Moses speaking. Moses was the leader of the people. He was bringing them out of bondage, out of Egypt. And so God had put him in charge of the whole operation here. And say, and in verse 19, he said, Moses said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, he said, gather me 70 men of elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregations, that I may stand there with thee. Remember what I said, God anoints a person, and his spirit and the rest of the team creates a corporate witness and acknowledges God's anointing and receive that person in his or her role. And he says, right here, he says, and to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that I might stand there with them. And I will come down. This is God speaking now. He said, and God said, and I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the spirit which is up on thee, and I will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden with thee. And so, again, when I say the apostle has a mantle on him, and what God, as you're standing there, you receive that mantle, that apostle in his role, then God say he can come along and he can impart that anointing that's on his life. He can impart it to everyone who recognizes it, who receives it, who honors it and serve it. He can do, God will say, I'll take that same anointing that's on his life. It is right here in our principle God set up. And he said, I put that same mantle on your life. You're not an apostle like Moses, like these 70 elders were not the leaders of the people. But these 70 elders, God said, I take the spirit that's up on you. I take your spirit. And I put it up on them. The same spirit that's in you, I put it up on them. And you can help, they can help you carry the burden of these people. These, all these people out here who are about to drive you crazy out here in this wilderness. And so I'm going to get you some help here. He said, over them and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the spirit which is up on thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And so that's what God, that's how God operates. He said, the Spirit is upon you. And throughout Scripture, this is how God operates. Same with Elijah and Elijah. God said, I take the Spirit, that mantle that's on you, and I put it on individuals. That's God's way. That's his principle. So we find principles in the Scripture, and we follow along with the way God set it up from the beginning. And if we do it the way he did it, it'll work. A principle works the same way every time for everybody. Take for instance the principle of gravity. We jump up on this building and we say we're going to jump off. And then right in midair, we're going to try to catch ourselves. We're not going to do it. Because why? The principle is the same. You're going to hit the ground no matter what. And you're not going to catch yourself in midair. You're going to fall and you're going to hit the ground. So if you work a principle, it's going to work the same way every time. So this is a principle that God set up in the Bible. So if we work these principles the way God set it up, they'll work for us every time. Every time we work these principles, they'll work the same way. And I go back and I look at Joshua 1 and 8. And if you God said, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your eyes, out of your mouth, but you should meditate in them day and night, and you make your way prosperous, and you have good success. That's a principle in the Bible. God set it up. And so if you want to have good success, find out how God did it and the way he did it, and we can work it the same way. We can work it the same way that God did it and told us to do it, and it will work every time, no matter how what you say about it. That, see what has happened, the world system, God say the children of darkness is wiser than the children of the kingdom, because they take the principles of the kingdom and they operate in their life and it works for them, even though they're in darkness. But we who are in the kingdom, we want to try to do it some other way. And when we try to do it the other way, it do not work for us. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and God has many, many, many things for us. And so all we have to do is take and operate the way he set it up and see, watch these things manifest in our lives. I've been meditating and reading over in Genesis, and when God set us up from the beginning, he put us in dominion over everything. He said, I put you in dominion over all the fish of the air, all the fowls of the air, all the fish of the sea. And he's saying, over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. That's how God, he said, I was created in my image. And so if we was created in his image, then we should be creators just like God. God was a creator. So if someone around us needs something, we should be able to create just like God did. I know Adam gave it away, but Jesus came back and he gave it back to us. And so if we operate the way he set it up, these things will work. We're in an awesome kingdom. God is an awesome God. And he's not just going to say these things and put them in the book. As my apostle always say, he said, God is not a man. Numbers 23:19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. And that's what God says. God said, my word ain't going to return to me void, but it's going to accomplish. It's going to prosper in the thing that I wear into I sent it. So if I sent it, then it's going to prosper in that. One of the things he said, I sent my word to heal them. And so if he sent his word to heal them, if sickness and disease is available, his word is already there. So we can take that word and manifest what God's word said. Let's go on and give you some more pointers here from this book. Only acts of honor such as these can establish and sustain these relationships. That's the act of, again, recognizing, receiving, honoring, and serving these gifts. The fivefold design for leadership is a team design, not a one-man show. So anybody of Christ, basically what has happened, and we've seen it throughout, if we've been in church any length of time, we've been seeing basically one-man shows. We've seen the pastor in his place, and he's the one who's been operating the show, but the apostle is not there. The prophet is not in his place. I mean, he can do some teaching. He might do some evangelizing. But the way God set it up, the order in which God set the flow up is not in his place. And so therefore, since it's not in his place, those supernatural acts that we see in the scripture is not manifesting in the body of Christ. And that's, God said, I'm restoring. I need to restore this government back in the church. And when I restore it back in the church, then those things that I promise you in the word is going to begin to manifest in your lives. Diverse anointings each contribute something entirely unique to the project of bringing heaven to earth. And this requires an honoring and an undemocratic attitude. We who are in America, we think we should vote on everything, because we think the majority rule. In the kingdom of God, there's no majority rule. There's God's rule. It's a theocracy. God is in charge. He gave it to a man of God, which basically is his apostle. The apostle speaks what God wants. And then if you go back and look at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20:20, where he say, believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That God say, when my man of God has spoken and you follow along with what he says, you don't have to vote on it. You don't have to say the majority rule. This is what we're going to do. This is where it's going to be done. And if you do it this way, then you're going to always come out victorious in every situation. And so it's an undemocratic attitude. Let's say you have something, and one of the things that you have to know is that when these gifts get together, you want to know that you have something that I don't have, and I need what you have. So if they're working together, the gifts are working in such a way that they have something that I don't have, and I need what they have. If apostle is in his place and our prophets are in their place and they are in leadership in the church, then basically the apostles and prophets need someone who's a pastor, because the pastor is basically not, the apostles and prophets are not concerned so much about the people, but they're concerned about what God and what heaven wants here on the earth. And so when they got someone, when they're all operating together and they put that pastor in place, then they are hearing from the apostle and the prophet, then that backdoor situation that normally happens in an apostolic environment where the apostle is in charge, then that they can close up that backdoor. If you got a pastor, they got who's concerned about the people. In the book of Acts, over in Acts 6, we saw that take place. Well, the widows was being neglected in their daily administration, and they told them to look out among them and find those seven men who was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, that who can take care of those things. And they found Philip and Stephen and Prochorus and that group, and I call them table waiters. They found those table waiters to do this work, and so it helped those in that gift. So they had something that the apostles had, but when they begin to operate under that mantle, they begin to operate just like the prophets, just like the apostles. They begin to see signs and wonders and miracles operate in their life. So it's a corporate design that God set up, that all of them work together. All phases of these gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, that works together in order to get God's purpose done in the earth realm. And we who are in the body of Christ have to know this. And once we know this, and then again, we can begin to see these things operate in our life. When the fivefold leaders model this kind of honor among themselves, then equipping the saints become a matter of extending honor by releasing every individual believer into his or her unique identity and destiny. Again, I said we all have a destiny. When I said that, when I thought of destiny, I thought about Jeremiah 29:11. It came up. I make that my Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." And so that'll be our meditation scripture. It's close to the end of the class, so I always have to come up with one. That one came popping out of, came right out of the atmosphere there. And so so that'll be our Jeremiah 29:11. It'll be a good meditation scripture for this week. Honor empowers people. It is time for everyone in the church to begin honoring those with fivefold anointings. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists must honor each other and receive each other with their right name. So when a pastor understands that there is an apostle in the midst, and he understands how God set this thing up, he can go to that apostle, and he can he should actually be, where God set it up, he should be under an apostle. He should be under these prophets, because based on scripture, the way God set it up, God said, "I set it up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So if we set it up that way, then when you become a pastor, you should have some umbrella of an apostle if you're setting it up right and want to see where God operates and see these supernatural events and happen, these signs and these wonders and these miracles operating. Then that God said, "My design, my government, I'm restoring my government in the earth realm." That's one thing. If you don't remember anything else I said during these two semesters, remember God said he's restoring his government in the church so that we can see the supernatural in full manifestation. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that we're no longer just hearers of your word, but we have become doers of what you tell us to do. We thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you've given us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.